Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 29.
Deep within the freshly washed off Fat Bike Radio Studios, it's your weekly dose of fat with your hosts Sven and Gomez.
That's all we're going to get out of him this week, isn't it?
on the drive into the studio today, I was talking to Colin on the radio, and he's like, dude, guess what shirt I've got on? And I was like, well, I'm just going to guess the shirt I've got on. It's the Gnome Fest 11 shirt with the same fucking shirt on.
You guys are like 1,500 miles away, but connected by some connection.
Connected. We're all connected, fat baggers. Yeah.
Actually, that's what I thought intro was. Was running.
No, I hadn't. That was. Oh, that's.
Got Jake.
Get out of my head, dude.
We got JK Livin' over there, ladies and gentlemen.
You got JK Livin' in my head, man. He's all up in my head because that was a super secret story that I did not reveal until just then. That's weird.
That's weird.
So let me introduce to you the one and only Chris Daisy. And the Zion Cycle Fat Bike Band.
Hey, guys.
Our show is sponsored by Surly. In three words, Surly is bikes, parts, chaos. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Right on. What do we have? What do we got going on the show this week, JK?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Nope.
What's up? The godfather of fat biking down under, Mr. Wayne Chapman, will be joining us on the program. We're going to talk about Global Fat Bike Summit, and we got lots of links.
Before all that, I think we got beer.
Beer?
Beer?
Yeah. Is this it? This week's beer is courtesy of the folks down the hall at Schlick Cycles. There was a bit of a party there last weekend, and there's still quite a bit of beer swirling around in the half barrel, so we're happy to help them drink up this Lakefront IPA.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Colin X of Lakefront. That's his, because he moved away to a cardboard box in Denver. You got his kegerator.
Yeah, that's true.
This is like almost like
Derek cleaned it up, and then Mark rehabbed the actual workings of it. So it's spitting beer out. It's a little foamy still, but we'll probably have that figured out by next week. It is beer in the studio though, which is a good thing.
Right. Out of the red plastic, traditional red plastic cups.
Right.
Oh. Except for JK's cup.
Yeah, I've got the clear one.
Yeah.
You can see. But I can see it's caramel colors.
We've actually had this beer on the show before. This is, I think, one of our first, if not our first repeat.
I think it is the first repeat beer, unless you talk about, you know, the Squanto's, the second tier, the
fluffers. Oh, right. Yeah, a couple of Pabst.
Fluffer beers.
Right. Well, if we had to keep, you know, breaking tradition, this is a beer I'd do it with, because I drink Lakefront IPA all the time, whether I'm doing a show or not. So I'm all for making it the official show beer, unless we want to keep messing around with other ones, which I don't care if we do it either. But
I'm telling you, we have a beer shaman coming.
This is the beer. If I were on a desert island, this is the beer I would request pretty much.
See, mine is not
vanilla. It's either that or it could be a different one on any given day. But right now, this is what I want my desert island with.
This is pretty good. And, you know, I'm new to the IPA thing. I'm the candy ass out of the three of us as far as, you know, how many IBUs make me happy. And this beer works for me. And will
this is not
work
as
for my dysfunction of brain and blabbermany later.
It's not as bitter as what we had last week.
I agree. But you know what? That beer last week, after the show, we poured it into glasses and I came around to it. You know, so there's something to say about it.
All beer is good beer. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. All beer is good beer.
All beer is
good. You know, we're going to be back with Wayne's World.
This is Ned O'Brien, and I listen to the Weekly Dose of Fat on Fat Bike Radio.
When it comes to fat bikes,
Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois has you covered. They stock fatties from Surly, Salsa, 907, Borealis, and Trek, as well as everything from 45 North. The staff is friendly, the mechanics are top-notch, and they stock the largest selection of fat bikes in the Chicago-Milwaukee area. There's a mountain bike park and some great beach riding in Zion, so come, make a day of it. Call 847-746-2200 or visit zioncyclery.com.
Welcome to the show, Wayne Chapman, the godfather of fat biking in Australia.
Hey, welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hey, guys, how are things over there?
Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good.
We tapped our first beer here so far. So.
And now this is our first night recording session. So we're getting ready to maybe be able to talk to people not only in Australia, because it's Thursday morning where you're at. It's Wednesday night where we're at. But we're going to be able to take calls.
It's like time travel.
Yeah, it's like a time warp. I'm completely freaked out.
I want to look forward to Thursday. What do I have to look forward to, Wayne?
Tell us what it's like in the future, Wayne.
It's great in the future here, man. It's great.
That's good to hear.
Good to hear. What's the weather like in the future there?
I'm just looking out the window. It's overcast, but it is Australia, so it's perpetually sunny, and there are women walking past the building in bikinis right now.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
So, speaking of bikinis and being the godfather, I introduced you as the godfather of fat biking in Australia. Can you tell us why I live under this this thought process?
Well, back in I think it was 2004, 2005, the company I own brought one of the first fat bikes ever into Australia, or the first fat bike ever, which was the original purple Surly Pugsley.
Nice.
And, you know, we sort of championed the course for many years there, trying to get people to ride the bikes. And, you know, since then we've sort of kept growing it from there. We no longer work with the guys at Cube, but we've developed our own brand and gone onward and upward.
So what brands do you work with or represent there?
We're actually building our own in-house brands now. We decided that it's one thing to sell someone else's bike, and it's another thing to design one of your own for Australian conditions. So we sat down with some contacts we had in Taiwan, and we went to work on designing our own bikes. So the first brand that came to market of those was Salted Bikes. We were one of the first sellers of the fork of many names.
There you are.
As it is so friendly, so well known on MTBR, you know, we sold it because there was no fork at all available at the time. It was anything out there, and so I wanted to ride them myself, so we bought some and I rode them. Our second product was the Sandfly Carbon Fat Bike, and that's been really well received. It's sold out twice now, and we've got a new shipment coming in a new color known as Malibu Stacy.
Oh, okay. Malibu Stacy.
Good name.
Is it pink?
No, it's like a pearlescent cream color. The graphics, it looks like a 1960s Malibu surfboard. Okay. We did spell Stacy with an I so that Fox wouldn't sue us.
Oh, I was thinking of the pink parts of Stacy. I'm just a filthy man.
There's no pink part on that bike.
Damn it.
So, Wayne, you'd mentioned when you said you made the transition from the Pug into doing your own thing that you were designing bikes for Australian conditions. Are there specific conditions that you guys encounter that are a little bit different than other places?
I wouldn't say it's dramatically different to what, say, the southern half of the U.S. is right. It's just that predominantly fat bikes, you know, go back 3-4 years, majority of fat bikes were being designed around snow. It's as simple as that.
Right.
I mean, bike was, you know, developed for that originally. You know, your Fatbacks, your 907s, your Surlys, everything was pretty much designed first and foremost to give you the best performance in a snow environment. And they also happen to be a lot of fun to ride on hard pack. Well, we kind of ride on for snow. we do get a couple of inches of snow every year, in one or two places
sure.
that are really high that no one goes to. But we do have a lot of sand and a lot of trails and a lot of deserts. So, you know, we just kind of worked on making the bikes work better for those conditions. And, you know, more than most, that really meant, you know, lengthening the front end ever so slightly, dropping the bottom bracket a touch, just to make it ride more like a regular mountain bike.
Sure.
Well, that's a very popular trend to this day in fat bikes, that's for sure. Even in the U.S. now, companies are coming around to the Aussie way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah,
as always, as you know, we're in front of you in the time travel way. And it's good to see that we're in front of you in a favorite way as well.
Very good. So I know that that you are heavily involved with the Simpson Desert Challenge as well. I was surprised to see...
I've been interested in that since 1988 when I first read about it, when I was working in retail, in bike stores. And someone sent us a poster to put up in the window. And I read about the event and thought, that's fantastic. What kind of idiot would ever do such a thing? So come 2007, I was at home over Christmas. It was late. There may have been whiskey involved. And the next thing I knew, I pulled a credit card out and signed up for the race.
Oh, my.
And 2008 was my first year out there. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons. One of which was take a fat bike, you idiot.
lots of sand on those tracks?
It's considerably sandy, yeah. Some of the dunes get up to, around 70 meters in height. I'll let you translate that to Imperial.
210
for the American
feet.
Listener.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
I'm capable of it. But, it's just a lot of sand. It's a desert. Any Google search will show you a lot of photos of the desert. If you go to the website, which is desertchallenge.org, as it's a charity event. There's thousands of photos going right back to 1988 of the event. In more recent years, in the last 10 years, the course has got a great deal more sandy, and I think that's because in earlier years, they used to actually, there's a lot of mining going on out there, gas mining, and they used to take trucks to and actually cap a lot of the dunes with hard clay, which meant you could ride a standard mountain bike. There's even video footage somewhere of a couple on a tandem riding out there. Hmm. That's changed. That clay is long gone, and the tops of those dunes are well soft.
Yeah.
Sounds like perfect fat bike conditions.
Exactly.
It is perfect fat bike conditions, yeah. My first year I took a full suspension, carbon, cool, high-end bike, and I put 2.5-inch tires on it, and we were running them at I think somewhere around 18 psi, and then the next year I thought, well, I know what'll make me do better. I'll put even more carbon on the bike. So I added a carbon fork and carbon cranks, because the more carbon you add, obviously, will make you go better. And third year I gave in and took a Pugsley, and boy, did I learn a lesson.
Yeah, that heavy bike pedals really easy when you get the flotation. It's amazing.
There is a big difference between walking and riding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pushing carbon or riding steel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's fun to push carbon, but it's a lot more fun to ride steel. I wasn't silly. When I took the Pugsley out, I did add some weight saving. I put a carbon chubbed front hub in there to try and save some weight. I'm sure that helped tremendously.
If not, it looked cool at least.
So,
cool.
My friend down in New Zealand, Antoine, a little shout out to Antoine in New Zealand.
Hello, Ant.
He says that in New Zealand, fat bikes are just as rare as diamonds. No one ever has seen one. Is it the same in Australia, and is it becoming more popular?
It's becoming more common. We started a Facebook page here, Fat Bikes Down Under, which you can look up on Facebook, mm-hmm. and it's got a pretty heavy population of all the diehard originals who used to hunt out catalogs and know the secret handshake when it came to buying a tire.
Sure.
And now it's got all the new guys, the new riders who have gone to the local store and seen a Specialized or a Norco or a Kona or a Trek or whatever, and they're just buying them off the shelf now. And it's interesting. You guys understand what I mean. Like,
oh, yeah.
When you built your first Pugsley, um, you
you had to know a lot about wheel building, about bottom bracket widths, about getting the parts to work. And I think it's pretty cool that nowadays you can walk into a store and buy a bike off the shelf. I'd like them to buy our bike off the shelf, but if they don't want to, that's cool. As long as they can nice bike and ride it.
Sure. It used to be a jigsaw puzzle, and now you just buy the puzzle all glued together.
Yeah. So, Wayne, what do you guys have planned down there for Global Fat Bike Day coming up on December 6th this year, right?
Right.
Yep.
No, 7th, sorry.
Is it the 7th?
Well, in Australia, there's a few big meetings getting together. The guys up in Brisbane, up in Queensland, I believe are planning a big ride out on Moreton Island.
You
get a ferry across the island. You spend all day riding and drinking beer. And then at the end of the day, you get back off the ferry on the mainland and you may or may not drink some more beer, depending how far you've got to ride home. Sure. I know the Adelaide crew, Jason and Bill and all the boys down there have got a big ride planned down there. They had a fantastic ride last year with about 14, 15 people. Considering the amount of bikes that have been made available in Australia in the last 12 months, I think they're going to double or triple that quite easily. Yeah, there's some really good scenes going on in here, some core-type scenes where guys are getting together all the time. But they're mainly hitting the beaches.
We had a couple of stories from one of your guys on that Moreton Island. That looks fantastic over there.
Oh, yeah, Troy's stories about Moreton Island are the stuff of legend.
Right. Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Well, Wayne, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
No worries.
Did we miss anything you want to talk about? Your new puppy,
well,
perhaps?
Yeah. I'm going to do some product plugs.
Sure.
You know, at Dirtworks, which is a company I've been, running for 20 years now with my business partner, we do Salted, which is our carbon and alloy fat bike brand. From that, we have some dual suspension samples arriving in about 3 weeks' time, which we'll be taking out and playing with and trashing them to within an inch of their life.
Nice.
We have some alloy samples in that one as well, which we've actually got an alloy sample here we've been riding for the past couple of months. It's known as the Popcorn. It's a 197-12 rear.
Nice.
Clearance from Alu. It's a blast to ride. It's designed around a 120mm gravel fork on the front. We want it to be a trail bike more than a beach bike.
Mm-hmm.
And as an aside to that, one of the other brands that we started up with Dirtworks was a brand called Wayward Bicycle Company. And it predominantly does touring bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those touring bikes, which we've just pressed the button on the go forward, is a chromoly steel, ED-coated, 197 rear-end drop bar off-road adventure tourer.
Oh,
that sounds pretty sweet.
Sounds great.
Send us pictures and stories.
The idea was just to confuse the hell out of people.
Yeah, we'd love to see them and feature them on the site.
Well, very cool. Yeah. Appreciate you coming on, and keep it real in the future. Let us know if anything bad happens.
Thanks for being on the show, Wayne.
We'll let you know. If the world ends or something, I'll make sure I send you guys an email first.
That would be good. Or a postcard.
Just in case the rapture actually comes a couple of years late, you know.
Indeed. All right, my man. Have a good one.
Yep. Talk to you again,
Wayne.
Man.
Great to talk to you.
Fat Bike Radio.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program.
Hey, for the third consecutive year, fatbike.com is going to be sponsoring the Global Fat Bike Summit. Been exchanging emails with those guys, and we're going to have someone out there, probably me, looks like.
Yeah, looks like it's going
to
be you.
Looks like it's going to be me going out to the Global Fat Bike Summit.
Since it came out, the news, you're like, oh, Jackson, oh, I hate that.
Oh, darn, wait a second.
Oh, my third cousin lives there.
Is that where
Shoot,
it is?
I'm going.
Is it in Jackson Hole? I had no idea. Yeah, so I'll be going to that thing. We're getting our video chops together and should have some interviews from out there. If anybody's got anything they're interested in hearing about, send me something at info@fatbike.com and maybe we can throw some questions at some people at the summit.
You know what I'd like to hear about? Because we have these trails we're building for single track grooming.
It's almost like your own private trail out there.
It is not. It's on public land, and
that's
there's a
true.
Bunch of other people that are helping, and, you know. So
it used to be your own private trail out there.
Well, yeah. And now it's been crowded, actually. People are coming and riding.
It's a great place. When you have the event, the Enduro out there, that's a great place to ride. Absolutely. It's very Fat Mike friendly.
It's going to get so much better, dude. The trail is getting built out there. It's good now. I'm just amazed every time I go out there. So the thing that I would like to see is single track grooming. That's what I'm interested in. And I know the groomer, our county has said, we're going to buy this groomer.
Are you going to go with the one from the guys up in Black River Falls?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So they have purchased that, and they're going to pick it up.
I think George picked up one of those. There's several people that picked them up because they're very.
That's what Steve Murette uses at Levis Track.
Right, right.
So I'm more interested in tow vehicles. There's all kinds of tracked vehicles, electric, etc., from crazy, almost science fiction looking stuff to something that actually looks like it could possibly work. So we need maneuverability because we build single track to be.
Instead of using a snowmobile, a small snowmobile.
Correct. Using a two-wheel drive mini bike kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the Rokon's got some pretty good reviews. But anyway, that will be part of the summit. It's going to be land managers and, you know, park people and BLM people and just a bunch of decision makers on public land use. Plus, it's going to be a lot of resorts and stuff talking about how they're integrating Nordic trails, and there's a seminar on trail grooming. They're going to actually groom some trail right there.
Oh, very cool.
In addition to having a bunch of groomed Nordic for people to ride while they're there. And, you know, it's a global fat bike summit, and it's a Q brand, a production, essentially. Mm-hmm. And in the past, it's basically been focused on their brands, but Gary made it pretty clear to me with, say, telling me Trek is coming, that this is a big, big tent for everybody to come and play in that's in the fat bike space.
Yeah, so if you're out there, if we have people in the industry that listen to the show, you know, if you're
hey, Len,
part of the fat bike market segment, go to this event. It's a quality event. It's very proactive. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up was one of the other things that I'm really interested in hearing about is how keystone locations like Yellowstone National Park, how that is going, how the negotiations are going for getting fat bikes to ride on the roads that are covered with snow. So that's what they allow the snowmobiles to do.
Right, yeah. Well, they didn't used to allow them either, and then they allowed them. So maybe, you know, I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. This is the fourth one. So they've been exposing people in these very positions of authority that can make these rules that we have to live by in some of these spots. This isn't new to them anymore, really. It's more about it's more about an implementation, I think, of how to coexist.
Yeah, and this is a very good thing. This is the industry being proactive and making sure that we have a place to ride these beautiful toys we all love. So,
not just on your mom, huh?
Yeah. So, hey, speaking of my mom, we now record the shows on Wednesday evenings. So we're no longer getting, you know, morning drunk and, you know, sleeping it off in a cardboard box. We're here on Wednesday evenings. So we're thinking about, do you guys want to be able to call in and talk to us? So,
you know what I'd call in and say?
What'd you say?
I just wanted to remind everybody that if they're interested in that Fat Bike Summit, that they should just go to Fat Bike. So, hey, hey, guys. Hey, could you go ahead and mention fatbikesummit.com? So if you got any questions about that Global Fat Bike Summit, you know where to go.
See, that would be like a perfect call in right there. And you know what you get when you call in? Because we have sponsors for the show that give us like swag. Surly just sent me like two huge boxes of swag to give to our listeners, okay?
Yeah, they're pretty good that way.
Yeah. So, you know, call in. I promise I'll try to be nice.
Will you at least talk dirty?
Well, you know,
talk dirty to me.
There's multiple layers. It's not black or white. There's some.
All right. I feel like we're getting off track a little bit. I need that beer pitcher.
Now the beer stop.
Ching, ching, ching. Pulling into the beer stop.
So, you know, this is just like when you're on your bike and you pull over and then somebody cracks open a beer and then the next guy comes and he's like, oh, can I have a hit off of that? And then the next guy comes and he's got three beers. And
yeah,
then the rest
buddy,
of the
that's my
comes.
Friend right there.
There's always a bridge.
So this is like that. But we have a pitcher.
You know, it's
kind of a nice crystal pitcher here for our industrial.
I got that over at Goodwill
studio. Very nice.
That was in some. That was somebody's grandmother's probably.
Cheers, nice. Boys.
Cheers. And beers.
So the next segment is the linkage.
We got linkage.
Well, we're in the linkage.
You know, right? I think it's pretty indicative of interest when links, we keep getting more and more every week now. It's not like there's like just a couple out there trickling in. So
that's starting to hit the thick season.
Starting
here,
to get right into it. People are getting interested. You had somebody, a friend of yours, say he was going to get something. My buddy called me and said he wanted to do something for his wife for Christmas.
Yeah.
I can't say his name, otherwise she'd know. She probably listens to the show.
Don't do it. Don't spoil the surprise. So one of our readers contacted us and asked, hey, I'm new to fat biking. I don't ride bikes in the wintertime. What do I wear? And I kind of went back in my memory banks. And every fall, I kind of go back to this link that is in my gazillion links in my browser. But I found it. It is from Cydia Cycles. And it tells you wet or dry every 10 degrees, what you should wear, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before. I saw the link, and I looked at it, and I went, that's pretty smart.
So I go back to this. I refresh my memory because, you know.
It's that time of year where everything just kind of goes short
right.
circuits.
Going, and we can have 30, 40, or 50-degree exactly. days now, or 60-degree days. And my friend 60 degrees I always remember, but 30, 40, 50.
But morning to afternoon.
Well, my friend this time of year is wool for sure, personally. I like layers of thin wool because I can regulate that pretty easily.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I says.
What else we got on these links here?
Awardo sent us some cool stuff from Oregon Dunes. And I just heard that there's going to be a big ladies group going to Oregon Dunes on a bunch of fat back bicycles that will be we'll be getting some snapshots
that'd be pretty
of
sweet.
Ladies on fat bikes.
Oregon Dunes sounds awesome.
Imagine that.
I'll be out there someday.
Didn't
I don't know
just
when.
Legalize something?
That was Washington, D.C. and Alaska. Alaska weed was legal.
Oregon
didn't make it. They legalized it, and then they made it legal again. They're very fickle over there about weed.
This is. nothing you hear on fatbike.com should be construed as legal advice. But consult your own local marijuana laws before making your choices. I absolve myself of all of this.
You made me watch this guy from Ontario that does this performance thing.
Yeah, it's like a spoken word thing. It gets going in some spots. It's pretty funny. I don't know. Probably not everybody's cup of tea. And I might just listen to it rather than watch it because it's really – you know, I think I listened to it twice already because I thought it was brilliant. So
it was somewhat like fingernails on a chalkboard for me.
Yeah.
Like molars are grinding.
I can't watch it. But it is, he does get going on some stuff. It's pretty funny. What else we got on here?
Oh, you wanted to talk about the Shorts Brewing Fat Bike Series.
Yeah, just the Northern Michigan Fat Bike Series has been renamed Shorts Brewing Fat Bike Series, and they have a new website. Oddly enough, it's shortsbrewingfatbikeseries.com.
Yay, beer.
Yeah, beer. Eh? Shorts, we've had their beer before.
Yeah. Remember that golf course race that Lungs and I
raced together? That was Gaylord, Michigan.
Gaylord, Michigan, 10-4.
Hey, I noticed, too, Bruce is selling his Pugsley. The first Pugsley in Scotland is being sold for £650 with new tires and nice rims. And
dude, man, this should go into a museum.
Really? Surly ought to buy it for twice that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or somebody.
Tyler, buy that bike and let's put it in a glass case somewhere.
In the history of fat biking.
In the Hard Fat Cafe in Vegas, baby.
You know, there should be a fat bike bar in Vegas.
Think so? I think there should be a fat bike bar in Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Or Lake Michigan, right down on the beach there.
Manitowoc.
There you go.
We could have mini bowling, too.
Manitowoc and Quivers.
Mini bowling and Dollar Hams Lights on Tuesdays.
For Global Fat Bike Day, I'm going up there and staying with George again.
Oh, yeah? Global Fat Bike Day, I think I'm going to go to Kettle, and I'm going to hunt fat bikers. Nice. With a crossbow.
Oh, yeah.
Tis the season.
Just kidding, kids.
Tis the season.
Just kidding. I'm going to go up there and ride my fat bike with a bunch of my homies from Illinois.
Yeah, they come and invade Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wear orange, folks. That kind of about does it.
Yeah, we don't have a guest for next week, but we're going to figure it out. We're thinking Haile Selassie or Margaret Thatcher, maybe.
Did we get Stassi?
I don't know. What do you think, Sven?
Don't know.
Nobody knows. Adios, amigos.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Try some of Surly's haberdashery. You'll be glad you did.
Yep. Now, that's all.
That's all, folks.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's Weekly Dose of Fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.